Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Thank you again for being here. Several are visiting with us today. And I'll tell you this, and I don't say this boastfully, but you visit a couple of times and I'll get to know you a little bit. I'll get to praying for you. I believe that the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more we're going to need the prayers of those we love. Amen. Matthew chapter number 7. If you'll stand with me in reverence to the Word of God, we want to begin reading in verse number 21. I'm not sure, but I believe these are some of the saddest verses that I've ever read in the Word of God. I've been reading in Job this week a lot, and God's let me see some things in the book of Job. Job had a hard time for a while. I'm not there yet, but when I get to chapter 42, that hard time's going to be a whole lot better. Can I tell you this, child of God, this morning? You might be going through a hard time, but for the children of God, it's fixing to get a whole lot better. Verse 21 said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I'm glad I'll never hear my Lord say, I never knew you." Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You can be seated. Pray for us this morning. Father, thank you today for the privilege to be in your house, the privilege, our Father, to be with your people. God, I preach this morning from a broken heart. But Lord, the brokenness in my heart would really not even compare with the brokenness in your heart. I ask you today, Father, to make the message real in our hearing. Help us this day, we pray. And God, we will give you glory for all that you do. For we ask it in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. Amen. For just a little while today, I want to speak to you on this subject, the reality of a place called hell. The reality of a place called hell. On purpose today, you'll find that Pastor won't be saying a lot. He's just going to be reading a lot. And what I want you to do today is understand that God loves you enough and me enough to say what he's going to say in his word. This is not the word of a man. This is the word of the living God. The reality of a place called hell. Matthew 8:12 said, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 13:14 said, "And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 13:50 said, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There should be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 22:13, then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In Matthew 24:51, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion in the with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In Matthew 25:30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In Luke 13:28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. Amen. Martin Luther said this. He said, what hell is, we know not. Only this we know, that there is such a sure and certain place called hell. God's given me 5 things I want to share with you this morning. I literally, inside right now, I'm trembling because I understand that this is not a place of an imagination, but it's a place that's real. Last week I preached on the concern of Calvary, if my memory's serving me correctly. And this morning I want to say that Calvary was a real place, but so is hell. And actually, Calvary is the only hope of escaping this place called hell. I see the reality of hell, number one, in its purpose. In Matthew 25:41, the Bible said, then shall he say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In 2 Peter 2:4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. According to these verses of Scripture, beloved, the purpose of hell had nothing to do with you and had nothing to do with me. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. According to the Word of God, it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If I understand the Bible, and I believe I do this part anyway, when a person leaves this world without Jesus and goes to an awful place called hell, they go against the will of God. The Scripture said in Isaiah 5:14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure in their glory and their multitude and their pomp. He that rejoiceth shall descend into it. You say, Pastor, why did you read that verse? I won't be dogmatic about it, but I believe it's a proof text that God didn't mean for you to go there. You say, what do you mean a proof text? Every time somebody dies without God, hell has to swell and get a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. I believe when folks lift their eyes in the region of the damned, they understand God didn't want me to be here. This place is standing room only. Amen. Amen. Outer darkness. I see the reality and its purpose. Secondly, I see the reality of hell and its prophecy. The Bible said in Psalm chapter 9 and verse number 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. God has said years and years and years ago, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Jesus said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. This morning, hell has a purpose. Hell was prophesied about. God told us what was going to happen. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 16 for just a moment. Luke chapter number 16. This is a very, very familiar passage on hell. I want to say this morning that this is not a parable. When Jesus used parables, he was using an earthly story to illustrate a spiritual truth. But in this story, proper names are used. And Jesus never used proper names in a parable. This is a certain rich man. You say, preacher, why didn't God call his name? I actually see the compassion of God in not calling his name. God's not interested in shaming you and I. God's interested in saving you and I. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. God was proud to call Abraham's name. He was proud to call Lazarus' name. You say, Lazarus is just an old poor beggar. Oh, honey, I'm going to tell you what. Lazarus was rich. He had what it took to get him to glory. Amen. This rich man was poor. You say, Pastor, not only is the reality seen in its purpose and the reality is seen in its prophecy, but the reality of hell is seen in its punishment. The Word of God tells us here in chapter 16 and verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. That's plural. Lift up his eyes is present tense. I say unto you this morning, that rich man is still in the same place this morning that he lift up his eyes in this text. Torments, plural. You say, Pastor, what do you think's going on here? Well, I don't have to think. I can read. It's God's Word. Number one, he's tormented by the flames. Some modernists come along years ago. They tried to cool hell off. But I'll tell you, hell has never cooled off. He's still tormented in the flames. I used to weld for a living, and some of the most hardest things that I've ever dealt with as far as the physical is burns. I can remember one time a ball of fire went in my pocket. And I can remember grabbing it. Well, in just a second, I had to turn it loose. Let me rephrase that. In about 1/100th of a second, I trapped it against my leg. I turned it loose. I trapped it against my knee. I turned it loose. It ended up in my boot. Would you like to guess how long my boot stayed on? Not long. That's just one little ball of fire. One little red hot ball of fire. tormented by the flames. In Mark chapter 9, I'm going to read a text this morning because I want you to see what God said. In Mark chapter number 9, I want to start reading in verse number 42. In Mark chapter 9 and verse number 42. Let this sink in. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Amen. I wish you would do something this morning, either with a pen or at least do it mentally in your mind. I wish you would underline every time that God says in this text, the fire shall never be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter in, halt into life, than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Beloved, if I counted right, God told us 5 times in these verses of Scripture that the fire will never be quenched. The fire will not be quenched. 5 in the Word of God is a number of grace. I want to stand publicly this morning and thank God for a day in my life that by the grace of God I understood I was headed for a fire. And the Holy Ghost of the living God come along and showed me a way that I could escape the flames. That I didn't have to burn forever and forever. Tormented by the flames. Tormented by his memory. In verse number 24, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember. Oh, beloved friend, let me tell you something right now. Every one of us in this room probably have things in our life that we wish we could forget. God has forgotten it. If we've been forgiven, Brother Devin, God has forgotten our past. He's forgotten our sin. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. But beloved, listen, though he forgot, we still have that memory, don't we? Well, let me tell you what's going on here, beloved. Son, remember, in thy lifetime you had your good things. The Bible said the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. This man's thinking back about his life. He's thinking about Lazarus down there at the gate. He's thinking how I had it all wrong. I thought Lazarus was the one that was poor when I was the poor, wretched beggar. And he's remembering the goodness of God and the opportunities that God had given him to repent. You say, Pastor, how can you say the opportunities? Because I believe, beloved, this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Not one person will stand before God and say, I didn't have an opportunity to repent. Even that wicked woman Jezebel, the Word of God said in the book of Revelation, God gave her space to repent. tormented by the flames, tormented by his memory, tormented by the separation. The Bible said there was a great gulf fixed, separated. Brother Coulter's getting ready to go up to Goose Creek in Alaska. And I know this, and the men in prison will tell you this. The worst part about prison is the separation. Some of the men never get to see their wives, never get to see their children. In a medium facility, they'll have visitation, and they'll get to see their wives maybe on Sunday. Amen. And beloved, listen, maybe for an hour, maybe for 30 minutes. But I'm telling you, beloved, then they watch those children. They watch that wife go out that gate. Amen. And they're separated. Sometimes for another week, sometimes for another month, sometimes for another 6 months. But in hell, you're separated forever and forever and forever. I'll tell you this morning, the people in hell would give anything and everything to get to sit in one more service like this right here. Amen. Hear the good singing, amen. Hear the word of God preached. And have an opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior. Not only is he tormented by the flames and by his memory and by the separation, but he's tormented by his family. He gets over there in hell and he realizes something. I have five brothers. They're living just like I lived. They're headed to the same hell that I'm in. And he says, oh, Abraham, if you can't help me and Lazarus can't help me, why don't you send Lazarus back to my father's house? Tell him to go back there and tell my five brothers not to come to this awful place of torment. Here's what Abraham told him. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. You see, we're fixing to celebrate Easter. Thank God there was one that rose from the dead. Amen. And thank God there's going to be a lot more because he rose from the dead. He was the first fruits of them that sleep that are going to rise from the dead. But listen, God said if you wouldn't believe, you could bring a casket in here and let a dead man set up in it. You see, beloved, if we wouldn't believe the word of God, we wouldn't believe though we saw something. By the way, we're not saved on what we see. We're saved on what we believe. I was standing in Israel, Brother Dale, years ago with a bunch of preachers at that place they call the empty tomb. And I just started weeping uncontrollably. One of the preachers looked over at me. Brother Joe Bird from here in Bloomingdale was one of the pastors that was on that trip. Brother Winston Sweeney was the other one. And the bunch of preachers that went over to Israel. And I stood there and started just weeping. And one of them said, what's wrong? Oh, I said, ain't nothing wrong. I said, I'm just glad I didn't have to get on a plane and come all the way over here to know the tomb is empty. Honey, that night when God saved me, that wasn't no dead Savior come along. He was very much alive. Amen. He saved me. February the 22nd, 1987. The reality is seen in its punishment. Number four in the message this morning, the reality is seen in its person. See, hell has a representative. The Bible said in Revelation 20 and verse number 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The devil that deceived them. That's in the last book of the Bible. You know where all the trouble started? In the first book of the Bible. Guess what? The devil never did change. He started out deceiving men and women. He ends up deceiving men and women. That's all he knows how to do. He's a liar and the father of a lie. Amen. Hell has a representative. Old Slewfoot. That old dragon. The old devil. The word of God said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. If you'll notice that text, beloved, there's a whole lot of I in it. Oh, I'll tell you, we can have revival in the church. We can have revival in America, but we're going to have to get the I out of the way first. We're going to have to get the pride out of the way first. I. And the Bible said, yet shall thou be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You don't believe God can take a man down? Ask Nebuchadnezzar. You can go from being a king and eating the best food in the land to chewing grass like an ox. You say, Pastor, did that really happen? Yes, it did. In John 8, Jesus said, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. C.S. Lewis said, the safest road to hell, listen to this, is the gradual one. The gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signpost. I personally believe the devil never tells anyone not to be saved. He just says, not now. Later. Later. Gradually, gradually, gradually. I don't believe anybody ever woke up one morning and said, you know what? I think I'll just go to hell today. Don't happen like that. Hell is plumb full of good intentions. People that intended one day to get right with God, and yet they're going to hear him say, depart from me. Depart from me. The reality is seen in its person. But I want to close with something this morning. I want to thank God this morning that the remedy is also seen in a person. The reality of hell. He said, Pastor, what is the remedy? A better way to phrase that would be, who is the remedy? Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I don't know about you, but I just don't take kindly to needles, doctors. I don't even like pills. I have to take some of them, but that don't mean I have to like it. Amen. Some of you young folk are sitting there saying, well, why do you have to take them? You'll figure it out after a while. But Jesus, he went to Calvary. He said, Rick, I love you so much. I'll take your place. Rather than you go to hell, I'll let them spit on me. I'll let them beat me. I'll let them mock me. Oh, the shame for a Jew to hang naked. I'll let them strip my clothes off of me. I'll let them drive nails in my hands. You say, Pastor, why are you wording that, let them? Because, honey, that's exactly what he did. He let them. You don't believe that, you study your Bible. When they come to arrest him in the garden, he spoke to them and they fell backwards. He had more power in his voice than the whole Roman army put together. They didn't take his life. He laid it down. The Bible said, "For great is thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." They've been some talking about worship. I tell you what, if that don't make you want to worship, I don't know what. Listen, I have been delivered. I have been delivered. I am being delivered. And I will be yet delivered. I've been delivered from the penalty of sin. I'm being delivered from the power of sin. But there's a place where I'm going called heaven. And I will be delivered from the very presence of sin. Where I'm going, old Slewfoot can't go. Where I'm going, sin can't go. Thank God this remedy is seen in a person. In Proverbs chapter 15, the Bible said, "The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath." Either a man will come to Jesus and depart from hell beneath, or he will hear Jesus say one day after a while, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." One more thing and I'm done. I looked this up as of February a year ago. They call it the world death clock. This was as of February a year ago, 2022. In 1 hour, Brother Dale, about an hour ago, you stood right here and opened with the opening song. In 1 hour, it's right now just maybe a minute after noon, maybe two. In 1 hour, 6,392 people have left the planet, have died in an hour. Now you say, "Pastor, how could you relate that to a place called hell?" Well, going on what Jesus said, he said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." I'm going on what Jesus said. I believe that's a good place to stand. He said, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." I'm glad it's not up to me. But reading my Bible, it tells me that probably the majority of those 6,400 people that left the earth in the last hour left going the wrong way. Heard God say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know," he said, "and the way you know." And Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I don't know how many verses of Scripture, I didn't count them, but I know this. There's enough in these verses of Scripture that you've heard in your hearing to save the world. That's exactly what God's intent was, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You may or may not have heard this illustration. I know that I've shared it before.
little boy was standing on the street corner, had a stick with a string going up into the sky. It was an overcast day. A man walked up and said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "Mister, I'm flying a kite." He's standing there like that right there. He said, "Son, I don't see a kite." He looked up, he said, "I don't see it either, mister." He said, "Well then, son, how do you know there's a kite up there?" He said, "'Cause I still feel the tug." Anybody that's ever flown a kite knows when that string goes limp, that kite's down, or it's hung in a power line or something, amen, hung in a tree. But as long as you've got that tug, you say, "Pastor, why did you tell that?" Because there's a Bible that teaches, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." It was a happy day in my life. Devin, I could preach to you all day, son. He likes to nod that head up and down. He don't say much, but you know he's in agreement. It was a happy day in my life when God tugged at my heart. Brother Gary, I got tired of my sin, and I run to the Savior. Because of that, I'll never hear him say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Before Brother Dale and Sister Marie comes, let's be quiet for just a minute. Brother Jason, 107 people left this world while we were quiet for just a minute. That may not mean a lot to you this morning, but I'm going to tell you this. Your minute's coming. One of them minutes will be pastor's minute. Your minute's coming. I want my children, my grandchildren, to know where they can meet Papa. Amen. Are you saved this morning? If this was your minute, would you hear the Lord say, "Enter into the joys of the Lord," or would you hear him say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Let's come on, brother, with an invitation. Let's bow our heads this morning.